My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it is wonderful that we are able to gather here on a very festive occasion. And I know it is exciting for all of you, but it's really exciting for me because I have desperately needed a partner in ministry for quite some time, and this is going to be absolutely wonderful. Folks, we are gathered here because God has given his word to us. He has given us this book. But it's not just a book. It is his living word, this word that became flesh, this book that God uses to grow us, that the Spirit works through. And this book, the message in it gives us life. And because he gave us this book, we have relationship with him today. We know who our God is because he has revealed himself to us. And he has revealed all that he has done for us. His death and resurrection, and the promise of the last day when we will live with him. Such an amazing thing. And so as we begin our service today, let us begin remembering the day that we were adopted into the family of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand as we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so very much for this day that you have given us, a day that we get to live out the faith that you have given us, a day that we can praise you and give glory to your name for all that you have done. Lord, we thank you especially this day that we get to celebrate Pastor Josh coming to our congregation, Lord, and being your man here among us, that he can speak your word so that we will know you better. Thank you, Lord, for all of this. In your holy name we pray. Amen. My friends, it is right that as we come into the presence of God that we would confess our sin, that we would remove any obstacle between us and our Savior and receive the forgiveness of sins that our God has earned for us. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. I, a poor sinner, plead guilty before you of all my sins. I have lived as if you did not matter and as if I mattered most. Your name I have not honored as I should. My worship and prayers have faltered. I have not let your love have its way with me, and so my love for others has failed. There are those whom I have hurt and those whom I have failed to help. My thoughts and desires have been soiled with sin. I am sorry for all of this and ask for grace. I want to do better. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, as newly forgiven, as recipients of his grace, let us return praise and glory to him.
Stronger than darkness, new every morn, for sins they riches of kindness he lavished on us. His blood was the payment, his life was the cost. We stood beneath the debt we could never afford.
Yeah. Good morning. My name is Brian Falls. I'm an elder here at St. Mark's. And I want to extend a warm greeting to you all this morning. The first scripture reading is from the book of John, the 21st chapter, verses 15 to 17. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" he said. "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep."
All right, children, it is now time for the children's message. So if you guys would come forward at this time, Mrs. Armbruster has the message today.
Good morning. It's morning. It's Saturday, and we're at church for something really special. And we're going to have a children's message, so maybe we can explain to you, a little bit about what's going on. Do any of you remember a man named Moses? Do you remember him? And he took the Israelites out of Egypt, and he crossed the Red Sea, and he had the manna and the plagues. Remember him? Well, after they left Egypt, they were out all together, and people were coming to Moses all the time. "You know, Moses, I have a problem. Moses, will you help me with this? Moses, do you think we should? Moses, Moses, Moses." Oh, and Moses just had too much to do. And his father-in-law, Jethro, came to him, and this is what he said. "Moses, you are doing God's work, and that's good. We need to do God's work. But you're going to wear yourself out. You're trying to do too much. You need to find some godly men to help you." And Moses did. He found some godly men to help him, and things got better. So you remember that story for just 1 minute, and we're going to talk about St. Mark's. Do you think God has work that he wants to get done here at St. Mark's? Yes, he does. So I'm going to ask my friend Pastor Bob to come up here, and I have a couple guys that are going to help me, and we're going to talk about the work that needs to be done at St. Mark's. And we're going to have Pastor Bob stand here, and he's going to manage these things that need to be done. You good? All right. So here we go. One of the things we need to do is Bible study and mission trips. And we need VBS, and he needs to take care of his family. What else do we need? Do we need to have funerals sometimes? And then we just have general emergencies. We never know what those are. So got to take care of that. And we have youth and visiting sick people. Do we need to do that for God? Yes, we do. Excellent. We have baptisms, and we have to keep the computers fixed. So we got a little of that. Sometimes we need to take care of chapel, and we need to fix the broken pipes. So that's kind of a thing we need to take care of. We have weddings. Do you guys like weddings? Weddings are awesome. So we have weddings that we need to take care of. And we have, this is a fun one, board meetings and confirmation. That needs to be taken care of. And there's that one other little thing. We need to have leading worship and preaching. That's kind of a thing. So, Does that look like a lot? Does it look like too much? Looks like too much. Guys, can you come out here and give, oh my goodness, Pastor Bob a break? And I want you guys to remember for a minute, what did Jethro tell Moses that he needed? Men that were lovers of God to help. And so God has told the congregation at St. Mark's to look for someone that can be a partner and a helper for Pastor Bob. Do you guys know who that is?
Pastor Josh.
Pastor Josh. Should we have Pastor Josh come up? Yeah, Pastor Josh, come on up. I know. Isn't that fun? So I know it's your dad. And so here's what might happen now. Some of these jobs, like leading worship and preaching, we're going to split those up. And maybe Pastor Bob will do some, and maybe Pastor Josh will do some. And I'm thinking maybe tomorrow would be a good day for you to start. Okay, we got that covered. And then all these other jobs, they can split them up. Go ahead. I'm going to have my guys split up the jobs that need to get done. Now I have a question. Does this look better than before? Does it look better? Do you think this is a better way to do that? Are we not blessed that we now have two pastors to do God's work at St. Mark's? Isn't that awesome? All right. Pastors, you may have a seat because I have one more thing I want to talk to my friends. You can just put your jobs down for the moment. This is a day to party. You can do your jobs tomorrow. There you go. So I have one more thing. Do you know that all of us have something that we need help with? And it is much bigger than any of this stuff. Do you guys know what we need help with that's a bigger problem than all of that? What is that? Sin. Do we need help with sin? Can we fix it on our own? No. Can one pastor fix it? What if we hire another pastor? Now we have two pastors. Can that fix it? Yes. The only way that we can fix our sin problem is who?
Jesus.
And because Jesus died on the cross and rose again, our sins are forgiven, and we can be with him in heaven someday. Now, our pastors can't fix the sin problem, but you know what? We now have two pastors that can remind us and teach us that Jesus already did that every day. Isn't that awesome? Will you pray with me? Set that down. Repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for pastors who use the Bible to teach us the truth about Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Do you guys want to give a round of applause for Pastor Josh that God brought him here? Isn't that awesome? And we'll clean up our mess. You can go back to your mom and dad.
So today we don't have little worship, so everybody has to go back to their parents today. I know, it seems so strange not to have little worship after children's message. All right. So my friends, today, and I think I did this a little out of order. Sorry, Jason. I always try to keep things interesting for him up there. The scripture for today's message is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let his light shine in our hearts, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. All right. Well, as pastor, I get to do a lot of really fun things. I remember at one point I was laying on my back looking at the sky with a paintball gun in my hand. And my teenagers were shooting at me. I think they were singling me out. And I remember thinking, I'm being paid for this. And there's a lot of strange things that pastors do, you know. But one of the things that we get to do is we get to teach confirmation class, which is a total adventure. Middle schoolers are hilarious and interesting and extremely, honest, you know. And they share with you things that are just, you know, very interesting observations about the world around them without any kind of filter because they're middle schoolers. And one of the things that I do in confirmation is I make them take sermon notes during messages. And while they're doing these sermon notes, they're kind of forced to pay attention to the message. And occasionally I get one of them that comes up to me and goes, Pastor, you know, it seems like all your sermons end the same way. You know, I mean, it's always like in the beginning, there's something interesting and different. You know, it's like this sin or that sin or this problem in the world or whatever. And then by the end of the sermon, it always ends up coming somehow around Jesus. And are you ever going to preach anything different? And the answer is no. We're never going to get to anything different. The thing is that, you know, in our world today, we have this inclination for new answers. You know, there's always something new out there. I don't know what it is, but the novelty of the new is such a temptation for people. And I would love to say that it's not a temptation for pastors too, because, you know, pastors, we want to help people so much, and we're like looking for ways that we can, you know, alleviate pain in people. And so we study a lot of things looking for how to help people, and we'll get into, you know, sociology, psychology, you know, philosophy. We could even study, you know, things like neurology and how the brain works, and we can talk about biology and how the bodies develop and the different things that happen. We can talk about human development and talk about the differences of people at the different stages of their life, and we can learn a lot of things. But the one thing that, and those things are good. I mean, they're not. I'm the first to say all knowledge is God's knowledge. You know, if it's true, it's true because God made it that way, right? And so, is it profitable to study all of these things and to learn as best as we can, what is true, what is it that God has made? And the answer is absolutely yes, because if nothing else, it helps us to understand the problem, right? Take, for instance, the poor ADHD child. Now, if you're a teacher, you're not thinking about the poor ADHD child, you're thinking about the teacher of the ADHD child. I mean, the ADHD child is a child with absolutely no filter. If they think of something, they do it. I don't know if anybody around here knows anybody like that. But anyway, the thing is that that's kind of the world that they live in. And the trouble is that sometimes if we don't understand what's going on, we can think that the child is simply trying to be oppositional and defiant. And the truth is they're not. They want to do what's right. They just don't always do it right. And in fact, most of the times they do everything but what's right because they're so distracted that they're just not seeing what's going on around them. And the thing is it helpful to understand what's going on in the head of that kid so that we can properly help them? Because otherwise we may just punish and punish and punish, and the thing is that that's not really going to help them. But if we can figure out how to come alongside them and come up with coping mechanisms and ways that they can remember to understand and focus and slow down and do all the things that they need to do. It can help them so much more. And so I guess what I'm saying is that studying all these other things can help us to understand the problem, but it doesn't get to the solution. Because the solution to all the problems that we're facing in life is in its very bottom sin. You know, God created the world, and when he did it, it was perfect. And the people that lived in the world were perfect. And the relationship between the people in the world was perfect. And the relationship between the people was perfect. And the relationship between all created things and God was perfect. You're getting it. And then sin entered the world. And when sin entered the world, everything went haywire. And the only solution to the sin that's in the world is one thing. And what is that? Jesus. What Jesus did for us. So when we come alongside that ADHD child who is struggling not just with behavior but with identity, because he feels like he's the bad kid. You know, it feels like he's the one who is being stepped on, who's just can't ever get it right, who's constantly failing. And you look at that child and you remind that child, who is he? Who is that child? Who is he in his baptism? He's a child of God. He's a child of God because of what Jesus has done, because of what the Spirit has done in him through that water and word and baptism. That child is a child of God who God loves. And we get to instill in that child that truth, that unending, unchanging truth, that regardless of what you are struggling with in your life, you are loved, not just by me, but by the God of all creation, the one who came and died for you. And if he died for you, if he loved you enough to do that, do you think he's going to drop you today? And we have his promise that he will not. He promises, I will be with you always. And always covers all the time. There's never a time not included in always. It is an enormous promise. And when the child is dealing with the guilt of having failed again, what do we point him to? Jesus. And what Jesus has done for him. Forgiving his sin. And what do we tell the teacher who's struggling with this ADHD child, right? Because it's really easy when you have that one kid in the classroom that's like monopolizing all your attention, right? And is just so frustrating that you start thinking of that child as the demon child. Is that the demon child? Is it? Who is that child? It's a child of God. One who God loves profoundly and deeply. One whose value and worth is never shaken. Guys, we pastors are kind of in a strange situation where we have one answer to a lot of problems. One thing we come back to over and over again. When the child is brought to us in baptism, what is it that we proclaim? Jesus and the salvation that Jesus won. When the child is later in life and is afraid in the dark, what do we point the child to? Jesus and the love that Jesus has and their identity and security that they find in their God. Later on, when the child is horribly guilty, what do? We remind them of Jesus and the forgiveness of sins. When the child is having a fight with another child and there's a lot of conflict going on, what do we remind them of? Jesus and the forgiveness of sins that they have received and the obligation that we have to forgive as we have been forgiven, right? Every problem that we face throughout our lives, pastors have one answer, Jesus. Jesus is the one that provides. Jesus is the one that protects. Jesus is the one that gives identity. Jesus is the one that never drops us, never leaves us alone. Jesus is the one that forgives every sin, no matter how awful and horrible that sin is, Jesus is the one. And so, Josh, as we do ministry together, it's all about Jesus. It's the only answer we have. It's the only answer we need. Because this Jesus is the one who gets us through this life and has paved the way for us to be his people and to one day live with him forever in heaven. This Jesus. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are so good to us. Not only have you created this incredible world to live in, not only have you brought us into the faith, not only have you gathered us together, Lord, into this congregation of people who love you, Lord, and together work to follow you, Lord, but you walk with us every day of our life. And every day we fall down, you pick us up, you forgive our sins, you restore us to yourself, because your love knows no end. Lord, we pray that you would help us to take peace, to find our identity, to find our meaning, Lord, in nothing but you. In your name we pray. Amen. My friends, let us continue our worship service by collecting the offering, and as the offering is collected, let us once again remember the beauty of our God and of his word.
The wine and the bread.
Friends in Christ, God has revealed himself to us, and let us now confess the faith that has been revealed to us through Holy Scripture. Please stand as we confess. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, through the church's usual order, the Reverend Joshua William Resnick has been called by the Lord of the church to be associate pastor at St. Mark's Lutheran Church, Eureka, Missouri. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, by your Son, our Savior, you have always given to your church on earth faithful shepherds to guide and feed your flock. Therefore, we pray, make all pastors diligent to preach your holy word and to administer your means of grace, and grant your people wisdom to follow in the way that leads to eternal life, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I invite our brother pastors to come forward, please, and join me up here. Hear what Holy Scripture says concerning the institution of the office of the holy ministry.
Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age."
Hear what Holy Scripture says concerning the responsibilities of the office of the holy ministry.
John 21, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." Jesus said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep."
And from Luke chapter 24, Jesus said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem."
I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given to you by prophecy, when the council of elders had laid their hands on you. Practice these things, devote yourselves to them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourselves and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourselves and your hearers.
From 1 Corinthians chapter 4, this is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy.
1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 to 4. Shepherd of the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory.
And from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God.
From 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
2 Timothy chapter 4. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry.
Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven.
Paul to 1 Timothy. The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to be the office of an overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil.
Hear what Holy Scripture says concerning the strength and promise God gives to those in the office of the holy ministry.
The Gospel of John, the 20th chapter. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained."
And Paul to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, "Continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work."
Dear brother in Christ, the Lord grant that you receive and keep these words in your heart so that you may be strengthened and encouraged in your labors. God gathers his church by and around his holy gospel and thereby also grants it growth and increase according to his good pleasure. That this may be done, he has established the office of the holy ministry, into which you have been called by the church and have been ordained and consecrated by prayer and the laying on of hands. It is fitting that you should again acknowledge the responsibilities of this office, in which you are to serve as a pastor of this congregation. In the presence of this congregation, and before our Lord God, to whom you must give an account now and at the last day, I now ask you, do you acknowledge that the Lord has called you through his church into the ministry of word and sacrament?
I do.
Do you believe and confess the canonical books of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God and the only infallible rule of faith and practice?
Yes, I believe and confess the canonical scriptures to be the inspired word of God and the only infallible rule of faith and practice.
Do you believe and confess the three ecumenical creeds, namely the Apostles, the Nicene, and the Athanasian creeds, as faithful testimonies to the truth of the Holy Scriptures? And do you reject all the errors which they condemn?
Yes, I believe and confess the three ecumenical creeds because they are in accord with the Word of God. I also reject all the errors they condemn.
Do you confess the unaltered Augsburg Confession to be a true exposition of Holy Scripture and a correct exhibition of the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church? And do you confess that the Apology of the Augsburg Confession, the small and large catechisms of Martin Luther, the small called articles, the treatise on the power and primacy of the Pope, and the Formula of Concord as these are contained in the Book of Concord are also in agreement with this one scriptural faith?
Yes, I make these confessions my own because they are in accord with the Word of God.
Do you promise that you will perform the duties of your office in accordance with these confessions, and that all your preaching and teaching and your administration of the sacraments will be in conformity with Holy Scripture and with these confessions?
Yes, I promise with the help of God.
Will you faithfully instruct both young and old in the chief articles of Christian doctrine? Will you forgive the sins of those who repent? And will you promise never to divulge the sins confessed to you? Will you minister faithfully to the sick and dying? And will you demonstrate to the church a constant and ready ministry centered in the gospel? Will you admonish and encourage the people to a lively confidence in Christ and in holy living?
Yes, I will with the help of God.
Finally, will you honor and adorn the office of the holy ministry with a holy life? Will you be diligent in the study of Holy Scripture and the confessions? And will you be constant in prayer for those under your pastoral care?
I will, the Lord helping me through the power and grace of his Holy Spirit.
Please turn and face the congregation. Beloved in the Lord, Holy Scripture says, "Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you." You have heard the solemn promise of him called to be your pastor. Will you receive him? Show him that love, honor, and obedience in the Lord that you owe to the shepherd and teacher placed over you by your Lord Jesus Christ? And will you support him by your gifts and pray for him always, that in his labors he may retain a cheerful spirit, and that his ministry among you may be abundantly blessed? If so, then answer, we will with the help of God. Will you honor and uphold your pastor as he serves Christ in all his God-pleasing responsibilities? Will you aid him as he cares for his family? Will you be diligent to put the best construction on everything, recognizing that love covers a multitude of sins? If so, then answer, we will with the help of God. The Almighty and most merciful God strengthen and assist you always. Are you willing and ready to assume this public trust and responsibility?
I am.
Joshua William Rusnick, I install you as a pastor of St. Mark's Lutheran Church in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in you that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Please stand for prayer. Let us pray. Merciful God and Father, you have graciously promised that through the preaching of the crucified Christ, those who believe in him will be saved. By your Holy Spirit, grant grace to Joshua, whom you have given to be a pastor of this congregation. Grant him readiness and steadfastness in this ministry, patience, understanding, and great zeal. Support and strengthen him in your service, that by your word your church may be built and increased. Through your Son, our great High Priest, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Almighty and most merciful God and Father, through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, you have established your church to be a temple and dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. We give thanks that you continue to provide shepherds to feed and serve your flock, in which the Holy Spirit has made them overseers. We humbly implore you ever to strengthen the labors of your ministers, that through their ministry of word and sacrament, your people may increase in your knowledge and service and grow up into him who is the head, even Jesus Christ, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all glory now and forever. Amen. Amen. Go, therefore, and be a shepherd of the good shepherd's flock. Preach the word of God. Administer the holy sacraments. Offer prayer for all the faithful. Instruct, watch over, and guide the flock among which the Holy Spirit has placed you. Do it not for earthly gain, but with great joy, for you have been called not to lordship, but to serve his flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. The Almighty and most merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you. Amen.
We continue with the prayers of the day. Heavenly Father, we thank you this day for your provision and love. I thank you for your faithfulness, even at times where our trust in you falters. I thank you for your continued provision. I thank you for caring for my family as we traveled across the country and made it here safely. And I pray that you continue to help us to put our trust in you. Lord, I thank you for this community of St. Mark's, and for all the people that you have gathered here. I pray that we would faithfully follow where you lead, trusting in you, that we would go where you tell us to go, and that we would do what you tell us to do, and that we would be your people always. Lord, I pray for Eureka, whom you have placed St. Mark's in. I pray that they would turn to you as well. I pray that we would be a light shining in the darkness to them, that they might know of your love for them. All these things we ask in your name, as we pray as your Son has taught us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven,
Receive the blessing of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen. We conclude with our sending song. Thank you so much for coming to my installation service. It's a joy to see all of you who are here in celebration of what God is doing here at St. Mark's. I've been asked to go ahead and pray for our meal, so I will do that. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for your blessing of food. I thank you for the people who have graciously prepared that food, and I pray that you would also be with us as we have wonderful fellowship time discussing amongst ourselves the things that you are at work doing in our lives. Also, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
All right, now you are all invited and actually somewhat expected to walk down to the gym. We've got there's a great big spread of food out there, and as well as some rather entertaining things for the children. And I challenge Josh to the obstacle course. Yes, we're doing this. All right, God's blessings. I'll see you down at the gym.